Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time and Kingdom.
It's Fireball Friday with a gigantic last hour coming up. Mitch Cleary in a matter of moments, the Friday agenda. Who's in the gun? And Fox Footy's very own Cam Mooney also now doing some nice work at the Giants. And what about their key forwards in opening round? Goals everywhere. Moons would have been happy about that. But let's get to him now for Cobram Estate Premium Australian Extra Virgin Olive Oil. Channel 7's chief football reporter. You can watch him nightly on 7 News and a part of the AFL coverage on 7. Mitch, thanks for your time.
Good morning, Kane. Good morning, Kingy.
Hey, I was a bit surprised to read yesterday that Justin Longmuir got an extension. Now, a one-year contract extension is uncommon and a little bit unusual. What do you make of this tactically for the Dockers, Mitch?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's rare and you rarely see it now because clubs like to string these coaches out for 2 or 3 year extensions, but it essentially locks Justin Longmuir in for the next 46 games for the Fremantle Dockers. There is a portion of an argument that would suggest they're just kicking their decision down the road, which I would partly agree with. The other thing, and I heard Kingy speaking on Fox last night, I would say, does this buy them half a season? Does it give the players some mentality that, you know, rather than the first 10 weeks of this year, all they're getting asked about is their coach's future? Instead, it allows them to focus on footy. And the other thing from Fremantle's side of thing that you must remember is these deals are not wholly secured. So if they were to make a decision at the midway point of the season around Justin Longmuir, he's not getting the entirety of his deal under the current system and the way that the Coaches Association have structured up where these things sit. So it does give the Dockers a little bit more security rather than having to pay out the full whack. But I agree with you. The one-year extension did surprise me, and I personally put my hand up. I didn't think this was imminent at all. It did come out of left field, and I don't think many people were expecting it yesterday.
Do you think it's a PR stunt, Mitch? Do you just think this has been done in an attempt to quell the conversation, which, in essence, it's escalated?
Yeah, I agree partly with that, Kingy, but then I ask you guys who have been inside footy departments and lived this, does this take a little bit of heat off Justin Longmuir, or do you think players would see through this?
In the end, it's winning that is the only thing that takes heat off any coach, and it doesn't really matter what his contract is these days, with the exception of maybe Adam Simpson, really. He's been the only one that's probably bucked the trend in the last decade or so. Look, I just think it's a distraction they didn't need. I just don't think that I don't think players really care. They just want to win games of football, play with a bit of freedom, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's just where Fremantle see themselves. Are they giving him some get-outs because of the players that have left and the young demographic of their group? And are they prepared to give him that full season, see what they can do at the trade table, the stock with draft picks, and can they wear another year of poor performance? That's what they need to ask themselves, and that question will happen, I guess, probably at the halfway point of the image.
Yeah, no doubt. And you look at this side, that they won a final 18 months ago. They won a home final. They made a semi. They were, you know, beaten convincingly that night by Collingwood. But their list since that night has got worse. They've let senior players walk out, for different reasons. Some under contract, some for compassionate ground, like the Lachie Schultz one. They've got 3 first-round picks right now. Now, that doesn't help Justin Longmuir this year, but it's going to help them go to the trade table. If they start the year 6-2, I'm sure it takes all the heat off. But if they start the year 2-6, I'm sure these questions are going to be asked. I just think, you know, with the way that these deals are structured now, the one-year deal is a bit of a PR spin. I agree with that, Kingy, but it does allow the club some security down the road, as opposed to having to pay out the full whack. Compared to like a West Coast, where they were on the hook for the full deal of Adam Simpson, given what he's been able to achieve and given the, where that club sits in the standing competition.
It's supposed to be a new world with media access to players. Are you noticing anything different?
Bits and pieces. I think, you know, the main stars are still, you know, going missing in that 20 minutes after the siren. You don't see Dustin Martin doing any media or anything like that. I do like it. I guess I put my hand up in Melbourne and think, we've got 10 senior coaches to hear from. And I heard you speaking, I think, yesterday or the day before, Kane. The senior coaches are still the ones you want to hear from. So as long as they're getting enough cut through, and I think the 10 senior coaches are the first port of call, and then you can roll out the players. I think the access post-game is a thing, especially for us at Seven, that's important and to hear from them. But, you know, a run-of-the-mill player press conference during the week is neither here nor there unless the player's in the news or that we feel that they've got something to say.
Sunday's game, Melbourne versus the Dogs. Is it the biggest media fallout game of I reckon, the last 4 to 5 years? I just feel like there's so much tension around this game.
It is a good question, isn't it? I think, absolutely, if the Demons go 0-2, the Bulldogs might have another week or two up their sleeve, but the selection on both teams is interesting, isn't it? Demons have dropped Adam Tomlinson. They've made the obvious call on Josh Shackey to relieve him of his duties from last week. And then you look at the Bulldogs, Jack McRae can't crack it into the squad of 26. Yeah. They'll say that it's the hamstring, but others will say that, you know, he's ready to go. He played big minutes in the VFL practice match last week. So there's a bit to play out there. Does Caleb Daniel make the final 23 when it's announced at 5 o'clock today? They've committed to a couple of new recruits in Caulfield, Bramble and Harms, as well as the draftees Gallagher and Sanders. So, yeah, all eyes on the Bulldogs match committee decision come 5 o'clock today for me.
Let's stay there because you mentioned a week or so ago about Hugo Hagen and Hawthorne's interest in him, and then it's sort of exploded from there. Now there's probably two or three other teams in the mix, as you can imagine. But the list decisions at the Dogs with English and Bailey Smith as well, the club is in a tight spot.
They are. It's a huge decision, and I can expect a few of those to sit back and wait almost to see what the others do. You know, you can see, does Bailey Smith wait back to see what happens with Jamara and English? And is there enough piece of the pie for me as part of those decisions? Just on the Jamara one, this is extraordinary the way it sits in terms of the market demands. Outside of Logan McDonald, there's no good young key forwards on the market right now outside of Jamara Ugle-Hagan, and that is going to drive his price up and up and up, and especially if he starts the season well. Hawthorne, for one example, they threw cash at Todd Marshall. He decided to stay at Port Adelaide. They were in the Ben King race. He decides to stay for two more at Gold Coast. And they even had a nibble at Jamara's teammate Aaron Norton late last year. These key forwards are in demand. And you look at Carlton, you look at Geelong, the Twin Towers in attack. Clubs are after them. And Hawthorn wants someone, you know, for life with Mitch Lewis to partner him in attack. And that's why they're in the market. I've seen Cal Toomey report this week that Richmond are in the market. Absolutely. They dropped Jacob Kaczynski after one game, and they're looking for someone to go alongside Tom Lynch. So these clubs are going to come in. And the other factor is the CBA is up 30% over the next few years. So clubs have got more money to spend than ever before.
So if he left, he'd be the game's highest paid player. Would you be confident in saying that?
I think in the short term, it would be up there. Just in terms of, yes, the salary cap's gone up and the way that the clubs can front end these deals. I've been told that Hawthorn has a position to go after two players at $1.2 million, such as their cap room. And the other club, you know, you got to keep in the mix is Essendon too, because we're getting a bit nuts and bolts here, Kane. But in terms of the salary cap, Essendon is a club that hasn't traditionally given their players these CBA uplifts, whereas you might say Nick Dacos on $1 million a year, with the CBA going up 30%, he'll jump to, let's just say, $1.3 million. Essendon haven't done that in the past. So that's why you've seen guys like Kyle Langford, Jordan Ridley restructure their deals in the last few weeks. Essendon, among those clubs, will also have a lot of money to play with as part of that CBA going up.
Nah, be patient, Mitch. Don't go too... Just a couple of more years at the Bombers before we get rolling. talk to me about the Brayshaw settlement. He'll get all of his money and what it means for the concussion settlements going forward. Was he going to be in the cap or outside the cap?
Yeah, it's a good question. He's going to get his full whack. So he's owed more than $3 million over the next 4.5 years of his contract. He's already served, I guess, half of that deal to this point of the year, and he's going to get 4.5 more at around $750,000 a season. Now, everyone in footy is waiting to see what happens, whether that money and what portion of that comes in and out of Melbourne's cap, and how much the AFL will stump up, how much is assigned to the Demons' cap. That is, you know, a big factor in a lot of things, King, because you look at a player like Tim English, who's had concussion history in the past. Now, he didn't have concussion this pre-season, but, you know, does West Coast come and offer him 7 years, knowing that, well, you know, the Angus Brayshaw thing happens, if that was to happen, let's just say, for a player, does that happen and we then get some sort of settlement from the AFL where we don't have to stump up the money? So everyone is waiting to see the outcome of this. There's still no exact update as to how much that is, but Melbourne, if they do get a large portion of that cleared from their salary cap, Kingy, have also got deals for Tomlinson, Ben Brown, Tom McDonald expiring, so they could be another club cashed up come season's end.
Where do you sit on Clayton Oliver? I mean, the interest in Geelong was reported this week, that they're sort of having a look, but essentially it's Melbourne's call. They've got this guy under contract for 6 years. If Melbourne want him, he stays. But do you think this discussion will hot up as the year goes on, or is Clayton Oliver sort of determined to see out his contract at Melbourne at this stage?
I think it only hots up if the behavioural stuff continues to mount. If everything that Melbourne's telling us in the last 6 to 8 weeks continues, that he's bought in, that he's living the life of a professional footballer and he's got the trust of his teammates, we won't hear much of this at all. But if he finds his way out of the side, if questions start to come from teammates around him, then sure, clubs are going to ask the question of a four-time best and fairest who is one of the best midfielders in the competition. So let's just see how this plays out. If we get to round 20 and Clayton Oliver's airborne and, you know, in Brownlow medal contention, I think Melbourne will be more than happy to commit to him. But let's just see how that plays out. And I'm sure there's plenty of clubs doing their due diligence. That's what list managers do. That's why list clubs have big teams of list management groups. You know, the soft cap has smashed a lot of list management groups in recent times, but they still do their due diligence, and I'm sure they're going to put the work in.
What about Petty? I mean, that's gone a bit quiet, but I can't see that he's at Melbourne this time next year.
Well, he's got this year and 2025 to run, so the Demons, again, can hold firm on this. I would expect this to come up again in September, October. You know, the Crows, we saw last year, they put the interest into him. They also tested the waters on Oliver. So they've got salary cap room. You know, they've got a few expiring deals for the likes of Tex and Sloan. So they will have money to play with. He's a South Australian. I think he ends his career back home in SA. It's just a matter of whether that's this year or 2 years' time. Yeah.
How are we seeing the biggest battle in football, Channel 7 versus Channel 9?
It's hot, Kingy. It's plenty to play for each night. You've got to come up with your best gear each night. 6 o'clock is the main game, but it's good to have footy back. We're inside the ground, which is, you could say a nice little leg up for us to get the inside back
there. Yeah, well, give us your form. How did Mitch Cleary's pre-season period go?
Pretty strong, I think. We've just worked our way back. It's tough going in January in those days, and I see you out at pre-season, you know, those 35-degree days. You're trying to bring something to the table each week. So I think we've laid the foundations for a pretty strong season.
And Theo's settled in well. You've taken him under your wing?
Hasn't talked to him.
He has. He's a very accomplished TV operator, Theo Dorofilos. So looking forward to seeing what he brings to the table this year. And it's good to have someone to wax with when it comes to the footy side of things.
Oh, good on you, mate. Loving your work. You can watch Mitch on Channel 7. He'll be across the Sevens coverage of the AFL across the weekend. Round one, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
The Masai, Mitch Cleary for Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil grown, harvested, and first cold pressed in northern Victoria.